Welcome to the club. I remember one time in Memphis when we lived there, I was coming out of a store and I saw someone to my right coming into the store. And I spoke to him. I couldn't remember his name. Then I saw someone coming from the left whom I knew. Couldn't remember his name, and I had to introduce the two of them. I said, brother, I want you to meet a friend of mine. And he gave me his name. I said, oh, yes, I want you to meet Bill. Bill, I want you to meet John, whatever his name was. That was embarrassing. I see well with my bifocals. My false teeth fit me fine. I get along with my arthritis, but oh, how I miss my mind. That's it, mind. Welcome to the club, Mark. Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckon unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, here is something that all of us in this auditorium can relate to. That is the fishing business. We are reading of men who were in the fishing business. But this particular trip, they caught nothing. What a difference the Lord Jesus makes. He came on the scene. He told them what to do. And they caught so many fish. We read that both boats were at the sinking point. What a catch! But the Lord Jesus impressed upon these men that people are more important than fish. Souls are worth more than fish. And the Lord Jesus, in essence, said to them, I'm going to use you to impact people. I'm going to use you to influence people. I want you to win people to me. I'm going to work with you so that you will become fishers of men. Now, this was the best catch they ever had, I'm inclined to believe. And it was at this time when they had the best catch ever that they forsook all and followed Jesus. Now, these were Jewish men. I'm inclined to think, well, why not have a going out of business sale? Why not have two for one sale? No, they forsook all and followed Christ. Now, young people, I want you to look at the scriptures now, and I want you to notice when the Lord Jesus called these men. Look at verse 2. These men were washing their nets. They were washing their nets. And the Lord Jesus said, come and follow me. The Lord Jesus wants clean followers. Now, the fishing nets of that day were different from those of today. We have improved on the fishing nets of today. They still have to be mended. And there is at least one in this audience who does that. Maybe some others. But the nets of that day needed far more care and attention than the nets of today. And these men wanted their nets clean for the next catch. They knew they had to have the gear in proper order, and so they were washing their nets. And this says to us, I believe, that the Lord Jesus wants clean followers. I remember Worth Ellis saying years ago that there is a certain type of gospel, and he referred to it as chimney corner gospel. I had never heard that expression before, and I don't think I've heard it since. But he spoke of the chimney corner gospel, and by that he meant certain expressions which people think are in the Bible, but they're really not. For example, money is the root of all evil. There are those people who are certain that that expression is in the Bible, and it's not. You know that. The love of money is the root of all evil. And there is the expression, you've heard it no doubt many times, I know I have, cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, that's not in the Bible. But let me tell you this. Cleanliness is godliness. Or maybe to turn it around, godliness is cleanness. The word holiness is a word that believers don't use much today. And I don't know why. Maybe it's too strict. Maybe it's too demanding. Maybe it's too intimidating. Holiness. What does that mean? Now, let me remind you, in going back to the Old Testament days, God was strict in dealing with the people of that day. God used them as object lessons. He used the tabernacle as an object lesson, things pertaining to the tabernacle as object lessons. And he said to those who were to handle all of these things, he said, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. In other words, be clean. Now, Peter reiterates what we read in the book of Leviticus. Be ye holy, for I am holy. But what does holiness mean? Those of us who are saved, those of us who name the name of Christ, we are to be holy people. But what does that mean? Well, let me reduce it down to this. If you're saved, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, know this. You and I are bought with a price, and God has set us aside as His purchased possession. God has set us aside as a vessel unto honor. You know, when we are saved, we are a new creature in Christ Jesus, but we still have the old sinful nature, And my, this is where the struggle comes in. Not just for young people, but for older people as well. This is where the struggle comes in. Am I going to use my body as an instrument of righteousness for God's honor and glory, or am I going to use my body for my own pleasure, my own desires? And this indeed is a struggle. But God has purchased us with a great price. He has sanctified us. My, that's a big word. He has set us apart to be used for His honor and glory. He makes us holy so that He can enjoy us. He gives us His own divine nature so that we can enjoy Him. And God desires to use us. But we have to be clean. We have to be clean. Brother Frank Perry, 2 weeks ago, used a cup as an illustration. Suppose I were to go out to the garbage can and dig through all the garbage out there and come up with a cup and maybe just shake it off as best I can and then put some soda in it and offer it to you. I don't think you would drink from that cup. Listen, young people, God wants to use you. He wants to use all of us who are saved. But we have to be clean vessels. And God called these men at a time when they were washing their nets. He wants clean followers. I was reading in Acts chapter 13 and verse 36 earlier what Paul had to say about David. Listen carefully, Acts 13:36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. That is, he died. Now, young people, it is true that all of us as believers, young and older, are servants. We are under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, and we serve anyone and everyone for the glory of our Lord. But in a special way, you young people are to serve your generation. Just as the older ones have served and continue to serve their generation. Of course, the benefits will continue. We read of Abel, that righteous man of so long ago, he being dead yet speaketh. But in a special way, you young people are to serve your generation. But the Lord wants you to be clean. Now, I could stand here and give a long list of things that I would consider those things that would make you and make me unclean for God's service. But young people, I think you know what your problem is. I know what my problems are. I think you know what your problem is or what your problems are. I think you know. You have some idea of those things that render you unclean. The Lord Jesus came to these men at a time when they were washing their nets. He wants clean followers. God has given us a mind with which to think. A mind with which to think. Philippians 4 and 8, is it, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, and so on. Think on these things. The word muse, M-U-S-E, means to think. To think, to muse on something. When you put an A in front of it, it negates it. That is, muse means don't think. The God of this world, the enemy of our souls, wants us to be entertained. He says in one way or another, now don't you go worrying yourself so much about a lot of thinking. You let me do your thinking for you. You just be amused. You just be entertained. Just saturate your mind with the things of this world and don't do a lot of thinking. Don't do any serious thinking. And listen, young people, I remember years ago, a speaker said to a large audience of young people, you're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. And we see this throughout the Word, and we know it to be true. Hebrews 4 and 12, for the word of God is quick, living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Say it with me, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, did you get that? The thoughts and intents. The thoughts and the intents. I'm no different than you young people when it comes to what I'm speaking about. I'm much older. But this is a real problem for us older ones as well. We're not setting ourselves up aloof above you. We have the same problem. And it's so easy to saturate our minds with the filth of this world. And whatever we think about, given time and the right opportunity, is going to be worked out into action. The thoughts and the intents of the heart. So you know what your problem is, I think. You know what you are indulging in, what you allow yourself to be taken up with, maybe when you're all alone. You know what you're feeding your soul with. Maybe it's the filth of this world, and if you're not careful, you'll wind up having morals like an alley cat. The Lord wants clean disciples. I'm telling you, I've been saved 50 years. And I've had the joy and privilege of being used of God, I said, to His glory in many phases of the Lord's work. When I was saved, I started leading the song service some. I started teaching a Sunday school class. Louise and I started having meetings for children in our home. We got to about 70 of them. We had to take it to the chapel. I've conducted Bible schools. I've had the joy and privilege of preaching the Word. And I believe it's gripping me more than ever that it is as using the word that's used so loosely today, it's an awesome responsibility to handle the things of God, whether it's singing in a choir, singing solos, helping in a Sunday school class, or standing and preaching as I'm doing. It's an awesome responsibility, handling the things of God. And we are affecting souls for all eternity. F.W. Borum was a prolific writer. He wrote a number of books. I have some. I treasure them highly. He wrote little short stories, pithy stories, with spiritual points. One such story he wrote was about the gossips of the far country. He imagined a businessman going from the prodigal son hometown to the far country on a business trip. While the businessman was there, he met an innkeeper. And the innkeeper said, "Oh, you're from such and such a place." "Oh, yes, we had a young man here. Boy, he was quite a wild one. He caused quite a stir around here." And Borum pictured the businessman as saying, "Oh, yes, but listen, let me tell you the rest of the story. He came back home. He got himself straight. He's right with his father and right with the Lord." And the innkeeper said, "Well, that's good to know. That's good to know. Do you see that young woman there walking with the baby on her hip? Go tell her how well he's doing. Go tell her." When we are dirty, we might think we're only affecting ourselves. We are affecting others for bad. The Lord wants clean disciples. He came to them when they were washing their nets. I must hurry. Look back at Matthew's gospel, please. Matthew chapter 4. Here is the parallel account in Matthew chapter 4. Come down to verse 21. "And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them." Now, there's no contradiction. Some would say, well, you know, the one portion there in Luke says they were washing their nets. Here it says they were mending their nets. Well, it's understandable that they would be doing both. They would be washing their nets and mending as they go, so there's no contradiction. But they were mending their nets. This is when he called them. He not only wants clean followers, he wants conscientious and careful followers. You can't catch fish with a broken net. And the Lord is good, impressed upon his followers to be, that I want you clean followers, but I want you conscientious and careful followers. Just as you cannot catch fish with a broken net, you cannot catch fish with a dirty life and with anything in your life that would hinder you catching fish. Deal with it. Mend the net. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Psalm 139, 23 and 24. We live in a polluted world, don't we? I want you to look at Jude. Please turn to the epistle of Jude. I want you to notice something. Because oftentimes we read of or hear people speak of the end times, and they say, well, it's going to be like the days of Noah. Well, notice what we have in the epistle of Jude right before the flood. Look at verse 14 of Jude. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold..." I've lost my place here. Hold on just a minute. "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints," note verse 15, "to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." In that little verse, you have the word ungodly four times. As it was in the days of Noah, and this was before the flood here, but leading up to the flood, so it's going to be when the Son of Man cometh. And we see that. We see it all about us. And we are guilty of it. Ungodly, 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 ungodly. Someone has said that Enoch walked through the slush and slime of his day. And we live in such a polluted world, after watching a little television and hearing speech all about us, we feel like we want to get in the shower and just take a good bath. God wants clean followers, but He wants conscientious and careful followers. Lord, search me. What is that about my life? What are these my secret sins? What is it about me that's hindering my testimony and hindering the cause of Christ? They were mending their nets. Lastly, you're at Matthew chapter 4. Go back to verse 16. Matthew 4, verse 18. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Well, here's a third point. They were washing their nets. He wants clean followers. They were mending their nets. He wants conscientious and careful followers. They were casting a net. They were committed and cooperative followers. They worked together. We read in Luke 5, partners twice. You know what that word is? It's koinonia. That's the root word. Same word rendered fellowship. We talk about being in fellowship. It means that we are partners in the things of God with other believers. And we have a commitment to the Lord and to one another in the things of God. And we need to be committed and cooperative followers. This is the reason, young people, the elders of this local church are so concerned about people taking part in any way in this local church. We should be clean followers. We should be conscientious and careful followers. We should be committed and cooperative followers. Look at your chorus book. We're going to sing a cappella here. Look at verse 131. We'll just sing that first stanza. Lord, be glorified. Just the first part, 131, we'll sing a cappella. Join with me.